In the galaxy far, far away, a podcast emerges with stories to convey.
Oh no.
From the outer reaches to the core, this is the return of the pod forevermore. Oh.
Chill out there. Come on. Come on. Stop
absolutely
this. This is expensive
not,
stuff
Matt.
Here. This is expensive
no.
stuff. No,
no,
you don't like this?
Okay.
This isn't good? Not a good.
No, no. We're
not a good open.
Yeah, no. We're past that. Matt, a couple questions.
Yes, yes.
Where did that come from?
That is AI. Artificial intelligence made that.
I saw yeah. Brian's eyes start to twitch. I think he sensed it.
Yeah. No? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking we were going to use more of that going forward, more of the AI, you know.
That's great. I have what I need with that.
Okay, good.
Follow up question.
Yes.
What in your mind said, "Hey, this was a great idea. Let's do this." Like what sparked?
You know, I saw it on the news. You know, a lot of talk of this AI.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's,
yeah.
But like CBS.
CBS. Yeah, yeah. I believe it was CBS. It was one of the letters. You know.
One of the letters.
Okay.
Reassuring.
Well, yeah. Caitlin, if you wouldn't mind taking this sledgehammer and just destroying that.
Happily. Please.
Oh,
hand
I think
it
you already
right
got
over.
It. Okay. Here you go. Oh, okay. You're right.
Yeah.
Just one more time. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Thank you.
Message received. New music
never
next
again,
week.
Never
we'll
again, Matthew.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
We'll
received.
Move on.
We'll move on. Okay.
Except we won't. Yeah. Caitlin, please do me a favor one more time.
Yeah.
Please no. I am robot children.
Oh, all right. This is very expensive equipment. I can't fix this now.
She was telling me she has to get her steps in.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah. Great.
Many boats and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast where we discuss and celebrate Star Wars, Star Trek, Indiana Jones, Marvel, DC, Tolkien, Kurosawa, Scorsese, Glenn Powell, musical theater, classical theater, books, comics, video games, art, architecture, fine dining, downhill skiing, gigs, gags, folks, fun, liver disaster, Canada Geese's, HBO's Rome, Cicero, Lipschitz, and much, much more. Every generation is a legend. Every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Brian Stillman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And newly minted traitor to the human race, Matt Romano.
Greetings.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
Well, I am, but also liver disaster. When are we going to get to that one? I keep hearing liver disaster in the list of topics we cover. Yeah,
it's a reference to something, and I'm sure at least one or two of our listeners will get what it's a reference to.
Okay, good. I've been meaning to ask.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Okay.
Let's go.
Listeners, I'd like you all to know that Matt sprung the opening musical bit on us about 30 seconds before we were due to record.
And Brian really didn't like it.
He loved it.
I should have known. Yeah,
It's a testament to my affection and love and respect for Matt Romano that kicking and screaming was dragged into that.
Yes,
it was an arduous 10 seconds of discussion. Well, we're recording on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024, and it's all three of us again. And I don't know why we bothered to pretend to change the format, because this episode's main discussion will once again be focused on Star Wars.
Yes. And
may
I mention also, yeah, why do we even try to stick to a schedule? Episodes come when they come.
They come when they come, and life happens and people move and things happen.
Yes. Caitlin just moved house. I'm moving into a different realm of sanity.
Just all kinds of moving.
Things are changing.
I'm also busy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt is also doing things. Now, you were away.
I was away.
He was on a trip.
Yeah, I've been globetrotting.
You were afar. Mm-hmm. But it's time to catch up with 5 episodes of Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
That's right. All three of us are going to be discussing that. But, you know, we are going to be going into some other topics, things that interest us and everything else. So, before we get to the main discussion, what do you guys say we go into a little news on the march?
News on the march.
Okay, we have first and foremost, we had a trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte.
This isn't about good or bad.
This is about power and who is allowed to use it.
Yay.
And Leslie Headland showrunner told us a little bit about it. It's going to be coming out June 4th. And a couple little points of interest to look out for. We're way behind the curve on this. This has been out for a couple of weeks.
Anyway,
yeah, I know all of us have seen it. Matt Romano, what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm intrigued. I think it looks cool. Looks clean. Looks very clean. You know what I mean? Doesn't have that
classy.
Andor.
It looks classy.
Yeah, it looks classy. Which is not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, I'm very curious about this. This, you know, the fact that we're getting this first taste of the High Republic in live action, the farthest we've ever gone back in live action. I don't know. So I don't know how I feel about it. I'm curious.
Not animation, because you're Young Jedi Adventures.
Yes, I'm very familiar.
My friends and I are Jedi.
That's the thing. The bar is set very high. Okay.
High Republic comes off the page.
Yes.
And you got that. And you have this.
Yeah, it's too very.
You got nubs, extremes. And then bloody lightsaber on the poster.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing some of the bloody lightsaber in the show. Because by the trailer, what I mean by clean, it was just, I don't know. I was like, I'm curious what this is all about. I don't know. I just don't know.
You want to see actual gore, like in the trailer?
I want to see where this show is going. You know, but that's I guess the point of a teaser trailer. They don't reveal too much. You know.
I would hope not.
Is well, it? Yeah, yeah.
I thought they just showed full episodes. I guess I was wrong. Caitlin and Bush, can you move us off of whatever this is? What were your thoughts on
this? This is crack analysis, pretty much.
I think genuinely, we've been hearing about this show for so dang long that we had
kind of
become convinced that it wasn't real and it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic to delve into this part of Star Wars in live action. It's a whole new different take on Jedi than we've ever seen in live action. And I'm excited to learn more. And it's coming out. I mean, we're recording on April 10th. It comes out in less than 2 months now.
That's wild. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's and to speak on that, Caitlin, we still. Theoretically, it could still not come out. We don't know.
This is true. This is very true.
Wouldn't that be something?
But let's spin through just really quick. It mentioned on what we're seeing. We're seeing High Republic Jedi in person in live action. Mm-hmm. And already you see the difference because they have temple robes for when they're in the temple. And then they have like activity robes.
Mm.
So they've got two sets. The activity robe, the ones we're more familiar with.
Leisure wear.
Where they're in the temple. Yeah, they have like temple wear.
Yeah, temple wear.
Nike for, sponsored by Nike.
Yeah, exactly. The casual Jedi on the make. So that's going to be a big difference. And I have the temple robes look really cool.
Mm.
They look very well designed. We have characters that look like for book readers will know who these people are. They could be connected to the Path of the Open Hand. I don't think they are, but. It looked a little similar. We got Carrie Ann Moss
as a Jedi. That's great. Trinity.
With a lightsaber.
Yeah, Trinity.
I stupidly forgot she was in this, and I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Seeing different kind of Jedi, to remark on what you said, Caitlin, I like that there's a shot of a Jedi fighting hand-to-hand, and it's a different era. Somebody remarked on this that we're not in the era where Jedi just spark up immediately. They diffuse with... You know, before they bust out the lightsaber, they slap you around a little bit.
They legitimately are peacemakers right now. They're peacekeepers right now.
Yeah, not soldiers.
We're keepers of the peace, not soldiers.
We got many saber, well, actually not many saber colors, but yellow is very predominant as it is in the High Republic. And we have another color lightsaber that was red. Matt, what do you think one of our bands would say about just do the bit.
Red blades featuring the yellow blades and the green blades and the blue blades fighting the red blades this Saturday at the Mass Square Garden Arena and Aquarium. We've got whales now.
Wow.
Okay.
That was good.
And monster trucks.
And monster trucks.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
And Esri. You turned into Dr. Teeth there for a minute.
I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. No, it's, we don't, see, here's, The only thing where I could see this not theoretically being too big of an issue, but it's we have a Red Blade in there, theoretically a Sith. This is the Sith resurgence. We're going to be a little limited, I think, in the show by the line,
"The Sith have been extinct for a millennium."
I do not think the Sith could have returned without us knowing. So again, if anyone discovers them, well, then they're just going to die. And then it's unfortunate, because one of the great things about the High Republic is that Jedi corruption it hasn't set in yet.
Yeah, maybe this is the start of it, and then the series ends with them putting the Sith lightsaber in the Ark of the Covenant and just locking it up in the warehouse, and it's like, we'll never speak of this again.
Well, no, but it's too far along to be a millennia, you know. It's because there are characters that are in Phantom, like Yoda, Yarael Poof, and some others that are in the High Republic. Like, Yoda's on the council in the High Republic still. Mm-hmm. So it's like turning the blind. It's just going to be, the nice thing about the High Republic is that, you know, things aren't all corrupted and horrible yet. And so it's seeing this nice era of everyone banding together for the greater good.
It's all going to go to shit really fast.
Yeah. You just reminded me, what do you think the odds are of seeing Yoda in this piece?
Young Yoda, hot
young,
Yoda.
Young, hot Yoda.
Sexy young Yoda.
Young I am. Down to FIB. DSLs I have.
Oh, no.
Slow motion head hair back Yoda, you know?
He actually has a mullet.
Love is blind, and I be on.
He's extra nutty when he's younger.
Except you're rose polite.
You guys see the Bachelor finale, by the way?
Did not.
I did.
My top choice win. She did not.
That was a mess.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm
The Bachelor
I'm
was
I'm
featured on the most recent episode of 9-1-1. Fun fact.
Whoa. News on the march. Well,
this gives a little taste of our pre-show discussion. No, but it's. I think we were marking on this too. I think is that I can see them not even taking like lines like that in Phantom Menace, not retconning them, but just saying we'll just stretch that a lot, like they have with it's gone are the days, I think, where, okay, we'll just have Anakin and Grievous never meet in this 7-season show because of one line in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
I think
they stretch the limits a little bit now, and we love it. Yeah. We love to see it.
It's and it's fine. Yeah, they do it with an episode we're going to be talking about shortly. but what else did we have? We had a new show coming out. We thought we were going to get season 2 of Tales of the Jedi, but psych, we're not. We're getting Tales of the Empire.
Yeah.
Why do you seek imperial favor?
Years ago, my people were all but destroyed. My anger gives me strength. It is that strength I offer the Empire.
Offer accepted.
This is, let me tell you this. This is coming out May 4th. So May the 4th be with you. Here's
special day.
Some shorts. New series of animated shorts. And like Tales of the Jedi, we got 3 on Dooku, 3 on Ahsoka. This one, at least from what it looks like, we got 3 on Morgan Elsbeth, played by Deanna Lee Inosanto, and 3 on Barriss. Barriss Offee.
This was a surprise. I like this surprise. This is a not an expected one, but a surprise nonetheless, whatever that word is.
But a welcome one. No, it's going to be interesting. It's Barriss sucks. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like Barriss is a traitor and she framed her best friend for no reason. But it looks like we're going to get ties with Massacre, the season 4 with episode where Grievous lays waste to the Night Sisters. It looks like Morgan Elsbeth was there. Mm. We're going to see her. Thrawn is going to be in this. We're going to be seeing Thrawn in the Clone Wars Bad Batch style animation for the first time. So we're going to get back on backstory on their working relationship. And then we also see Morgan Elsbeth on Corvus, where we first met her in Ahsoka season 2 with the flunky she's leading around there. So we're going to get back up on that as well. And on the Barriss side of things, lots of... What's that?
Mando season 2.
Oh, Mando season. What did I say?
Catch. Ahsoka season 2.
Ahsoka.
Oh, well, that doesn't exist yet.
I also had a thought. I was like, did I miss an entire season of Ahsoka?
I just don't want the, I want the haters.
That's how
to
long
come
you've
for
been
you.
Gone.
I was going to say, have I been gone that long?
But on the Barristar, we got Inquisitors coming at us. We saw Grand Inquisitor Fourth Sister, who we've only met once in Obi-Wan. Could have been Marek in there. I don't know. Everybody's favorite. You guys ready for another round of Marek Conspiracy Corner? Caitlin, you were texting me every hour with a new theory on Marek.
I was so excited. I had so many opinions about that.
About that and listeners about everything else.
She hasn't shut up.
We got a new story trailer for the game Star Wars Outlaws.
The Outer Rim is a dangerous place. Everyone is fighting for their piece of the galaxy.
Which will be coming out August 30th, 2024. Matt and I, we're, because the protagonist is female, we're not going to play it.
it's a hard no for me. So.
Not really. This looks really, of course, not really. This looks, although I there are plenty of idiots saying that exact thing.
Of course
This looks great. It sounds like this could be the scoundrel simulator that we wanted for a while. Matt, I know you've wanted something like this for a while. Story details. We get some familiar characters in the Star Wars underworld appearing, notably Jabba the Hutt and Kira from Solo, A Star Wars Story.
I was very surprised.
She's become a huge. Yeah, so was I.
Yeah.
She's become a really huge character in the comics. So who knows how she'll tie in here, but it is confirmed, sadly, that she is not played by Emilia Clarke.
Ooh.
So my heart breaks. I have more. That's what we have so far. But we had a bunch of other stuff that just got added to the docket. Caitlin and Bush, what do we got?
We're going to journey out of the Star Wars universe here.
Gentlemen. Yeah, let's get out of here.
into a different universe. I think something that we are all paying attention to recently was a very large cover story from Variety about all things Star Trek and the future of Star Trek.
Sukat, his eyes uncovered!
Which was deeply fascinating, I must say. We all had talked a little bit about it. Via text originally, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts about this. I mean, I'm excited for the future of Star Trek. Obviously, the final season of Discovery here is happening now.
Yep.
And we are looking forward to some new Strange New Worlds, some new animated stuff, some Star Trek Academy, which I am personally very excited for, as we all know.
You're the one.
I'm the one. And it's me. If there's one fan, it's me. Brian Silliman, what are your thoughts about this?
I kid, anything that has Star Trek on it, I watch. And I'm sure even though Matt and I really, really want Star Trek Legacy, I'll gladly take whatever's there. So I'm sure I will love Star Trek Academy. And I'm excited that they confirmed it's happening in the new Discovery time period, because they've been doing so much exploration with that, and it would be a shame to just abandon it. And they also have so many sets and costumes and actors and everything like already made. So maybe that was it. But Discovery just came back. I didn't even realize it was coming back so soon. I just looked last week and it's like, here's the two episodes.
Yeah,
premiere.
It snuck up on us.
Yeah. And I had a great time. It's just so much fun. I think that show says so many interesting things. It does. I think it's very underappreciated. And it is heavy on the action side, but it also has a lot of character moments and interesting writing and conundrums as well. And the great thing is, Matt, because I know you're the Battlestar fan in you,
yes,
is going to be happy. Callum Keith Rennie is not only is he back, he's in the main credits.
Oh my!
For
goodness.
This final season, yeah. So he's a lead. He was Leoben.
I was going to say Leoben.
Might remember him. Yeah,
I knew you'd be back. I saw it.
So he was on last season, but now he's not only back, he's in the main credits. And again, you got Admiral Oded Fehr. Come on. Come on. We just rewatched The Mummy a couple nights ago. Or Oded Fehr.
Oh yeah, that's
amazing.
Yeah,
it's a perfect damn movie.
That guy.
Yeah.
I told you to leave or die. You refused. Now you may have killed us all.
He's like the rare admiral that's not evil or corrupt or just incompetent. But anyway, yeah, no. I mean, of course, we want Strange New Worlds back. We want Lower Decks back. Just
absolutely
keep it coming.
100%.
Keep it coming.
Matt, what were your big takeaways from this? This very large, very intensive cover story. It was very well written. I loved it.
Yeah, no, it was really good and a good peek behind the curtain. It's tough because I think they got a real issue on their hands because they want to, like, Paramount needs Star Trek as a franchise.
It's like, the thing keeping it alive. Yeah,
it's the thing keeping it alive. It's so important. And it's like, and it's such a valuable franchise. When they add, like, the part of the article talks about, like, adding up all the hours, and it's like, as a franchise, it's blown past Star Wars or any other. No other franchise comes close to having as much, Brian, you hate the word, content as Star Trek does. There's just a lot of movies, there's a lot of shows, everything.
That usage, I can't stand it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But so, like, in producing all these new shows, there's a lot of Trek recently, of the more recent Trek, that hasn't necessarily been for me. Some of it's been hit or miss. And it made me, this article just made me realize, like, I'm that older half. Just acknowledge it. Like, I'm the one stuck in 90s Trek. Give me 10 more seasons of Picard.
Shut up, Wesley.
I really don't care. Like,
you're part of the problem.
I'm part of the problem. But also, like, Paramount, I pay for too. So I would like to see some of my stuff, you know.
I think you're actually Rick Berman in a Matt Romano mask.
You're damn right. I'm Rick Berman, baby. It's like Men in Black, the bug suit, you know, but it's Rick Berman inside me.
You're Rick Berman in a Robert Beltran suit in a Matt Romano suit.
Yeah, but so...
Is that better?
But anyway, I wasn't happy to see that they might regulate Picard to, like, a movie. You know, that kind of sucks. And honestly, having this Starfleet Academy show, I might be into it, but I'm not into, like, the new 35th century, whatever the hell they're in. I haven't even seen what the inside of a ship looks like in this new century, Brian. Have they shown any other ship other than the Discovery?
Matt said, slow down, we're moving too fast.
Yeah, like, this is crazy.
Yes, they've shown it often. They've shown it often.
All right, well,
like
whatever.
Star bases. Yeah. Star bases.
Ships, like, yeah. Star all the ships. Time, man.
I don't know.
Well, it's all about... I'm not saying I prefer that. I'm just saying it's an interest. Evolution is an active addition.
Yeah, so I think as a creative endeavor, I thought the article was very enlightening just to see, like, where their heads are at, where Alex Kurtzman's head is at and what they want to do. And we'll see what happens, you know? But give me that Star Trek legacy. Do it.
There you go. And I loved all of the comments and the descriptions of the very, like, physical aspects of the sets, about how so much of it is practical, about how you walk onto something and the lights are all working. And there was something about, you know, there were 5 or 6 screens that were designed by seven different designers who are all, it's crazy. It's a great read. If no one has stumbled upon it on Variety, you can find it online, but
check it out. Yeah.
That's the dream, is getting a job on one of those shows and walking onto any set, but especially if it was a bridge.
Yeah.
Walking onto a bridge.
I imagine.
Yeah.
And that's your day of work is
you're
on
there.
A Star Trek bridge.
Let me tap the screens and stuff, pretend I'm like doing stuff.
I just break everything. Oh, I just be poking it constantly.
You would. You'd just have a fire extinguisher and you'd be smashing it with the butt.
Yes, some PA runs over with a Windex and a paper towel, is like, Miss Bush, please.
We don't know. We don't know. We just know that she is. We can't stop her. She's too powerful. I don't All understand. Right. It's Christmas.
Moving on. Some other stuff. I will admit, I think something that we were all very excited about that I am sad to report I have not delved into as much is the new X-Men 97 series.
Oh, man.
To me, my X-Men.
Have you watched it, Brian?
I haven't either.
All right, then we won't.
And you want to know, I've never seen the classic show.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's good. You'd really like it. Goodness.
I've seen a single episode. Yeah. I know the da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, that's beautiful.
And I know the arcade game.
That's just go-to.
Another thing. Yeah.
Well, it's great. I love the little bit that I have. He's like,
Matt Romano is so unimpressed with me right now. He's like, that's what gets you through the night. Then.
I don't know what you were doing on Saturday morning in the 90s, but seriously.
I was going to work
in the mines.
Uphill both ways through the snow.
With newspaper on my feet.
Yeah. Well, anyway, well, as the only one that
ingrate family.
The only one I've seen it.
Sorry.
X-Men 97 is just a masterpiece. Man, it's just like a fever dream every episode. So I don't know. If you're a fan of the original, great continuation. Amazing.
Love it.
Can't believe it exists.
I will say this week while we were recording, CinemaCon is going on right now, which is kind of, for those not in the know, that is when all of the big production companies kind of say, here's what's coming down the line. They give looks at trailers and there's kind of exclusive moments. And I think previously we've spoken about stuff that we're excited for, specifically Beetlejuice, yeah. Which I know that we are psyched for. And Michael Keaton, who is reprising his role, said, censors at the ready. It's really f-ing good.
I believe him. I trust him.
I believe him. I trust Michael Keaton. I think I do. Yeah.
And you know, real quick, Caitlin, CinemaCon, it's like, this is like the new, like almost Comic-Con in terms of announcing
it,
news now. Like it's never been
really
this big.
Is. No, yeah. This has been a really, really big one this year. And I think like Warner Brothers also premiered like the new Joker, yes. Joker 2 trailer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've talked about it on the show before about how, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, for all that we love it and its classicness, it's as soon as all of the companies, Disney and everyone, started doing their own little presentations throughout the year, San Diego Comic-Con has kind of been dying a little bit. And I think this is kind of the next step in that, is this CinemaCon, where, you know, we're 3 months away from Comic-Con right now, and some of the biggest trailers and biggest announcements are coming out right now. Like, what's going to be left at that point?
That's right.
Let me ask you this. How far away do you think it's, like, how many years, possibly months away from some of these idiots like Zaslav or whatever else turning their shareholder calls into actual screened events?
Oh my God.
I mean, Disney's already done
it. Yeah, we're kind of there at Disney. I mean, they kind of have the two things. They have Disney Plus Day and the call. But yeah, they're there. It's going to be no time.
It's there. Yeah. Yeah. It's happening.
Yeah. Zaslav's going to parachute into, like, you know, it's a giant stadium.
Expecting like huge applause.
100%. Yeah, I mean, there's also, I mean, just like thinking about everything else from CinemaCon. I mean, there was announcement of a Monopoly movie being produced by Margot Robbie.
And you must be the Monopoly guy.
Oh, wow. So she just knocked out Barbie. They're like, take the board game.
They said, we're just going to make all the board game movies, because that'll work, right? People care about Monopoly in the same way that they do about Barbie.
I love the Monopoly guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the lesson to take from Barbie's success. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Boot will be played by Chris Hemsworth.
I actually love Mr. Monopoly, though. Unironically, I love Mr. Monopoly.
Yeah.
So if they get that casting right,
there's going to be person seeing that movie, and that person will be Brian Zillman.
Yeah.
You'll be there.
Probably not. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I'd love to play Mr. Monopoly and throw my top hat in the ring right there, as well as my thimble, little dog, and iron.
There you go. Ms. Robbie.
No, Timothy Chalamet will be playing the Monopoly guy, but in his 20s, when he makes his fortune.
Young, sexy,
Monopoly Man.
Monopoly Man.
Oh, it took me a second to get that, but wow, was it worth the trip.
Someday I'm going to own Boardwalk Place or whatever the hell it is.
That was good. The Boardwalk Place.
Oh, wow.
I haven't played the game
in
a while. Yeah.
We're just pinging all over the quality spectrum.
Well, other than that, anything out of CinemaCon? I think the other thing that really stood out when we were scrolling through everything, we got a first trailer for Nosferatu, which looks very, very good, okay. I will say. Yep. And we also saw the Superman logo.
Once that
was revealed. Not
officially released, but someone took a picture, so we saw it. So that's cool. You know?
That's cool. There's a lot of like, you know, they're not officially releasing it, but people are at this con and they're
taking
releasing
pics.
It to the masses.
Yeah.
What kind of logo is it like, you know, the up at the end of the bottom, or like the down, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, it's more of like the more alien looking one, like the Kingdom Come version, which like you could tell it's an S, but it's not directly an S, you know? So, which I actually like, because a lot of people like with I do like what they did in the Zack Snyder movies, like making it like a sign of hope. So it's an S to them, but it's hope S to us, but it's a hope to the Kryptonians. But I like the alien looking one that's not necessarily an S. You like, because it's like, this could be it's a little bit more stylized
kind of.
And so you can interpret it as an S, but he's not from here, so it would never really made sense to be an S anyway.
Mean anything.
So I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Interesting.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right. And that has been News on the March.
Okay, with that, we're going to go to our main discussion covering season 3, episodes 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, man. Of Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
These episodes are brand new, and we are going to be getting into spoilers. So if you have not watched them yet, be warned. For good measure, we'll sound the spoiler klaxon. And here we go again. Punch it.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Cavalry has arrived.
Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, Episodes 8, 9, 10, 11, and now 12, the latter episode released on April 10th, 2024. A broad look at everything before we get to specifics. Episode 8, Bad Territory, The Return of Fennec Shand. Episode 9, The Harbinger, The Return of Asajj Ventress. Episode 10, Identity Crisis, The Return of Cad Bane. Also, Emery Carr episode, No Batch. Batchless. That episode was Batchless.
Batchless.
It doesn't end Omegaless. It doesn't end with either character in the credits.
Oh,
they're,
no.
They're not listed. Episode 11, Point of No Return. The Empire finds Paboop. Omega kidnapped again, so it was Tuesday. Episode 12, Juggernaut. It's a juggernaut. Search for Caitlin's favorite, Admiral Rampart. Caitlin, you must have been excited.
I was so excited. Yeah.
Now, did you get that in the moment, or did somebody spoil you for beforehand that Rampart not only is back, but he's a featured part of an episode?
I will say I was not spoiled as someone who does not go on social media anymore. I stayed away from all of that. I was very impressed with myself.
Nice.
Nice. I am too. See, I was kidding, but now you turned it into something real.
Now
you
it's
really
genuine.
Sold it,
now it's genuine. I'm taking your joke, and I'm immediately just like running with it.
That's the best way to show a little trickster up is
there,
to make it genuine.
A little trick. Look at you.
But again, played by Nasheer Dalal, who is double duty Star Wars at the moment. Played Bo Takuna in Jedi Survivor, and is a lead character in Red Dead Redemption 2. So he's really cool. Anyway, episode 8. Starting with the return of Fennec Shand, played again by Ming-Na Wen. She is the first step on the Batch's quest to find out what M-counts are. She's encountered the Batch before. We'll remember when she was hired by the Kaminoans to find Omega. The episode is very much another do this job for me and I'll give you the information situation. It's a step along the way. Fennec name drops the Haxian Brood, which is a really cool connection for me and for players of Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor. And there's a boat.
And this is, again, this is another great example of a Star Wars boat. This is what I'm talking about. It's like a boat, but it's got a little bit of Star Wars, you know?
This is what we're about, is boats, people.
I love it. It's great.
That's what we're about, is bouts.
That's what we're about.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't give me that look, Caitlin Bush. Trying not to laugh. But, Matt, also for you right in here, there was not big stupid Star Wars monsters, but some monsters.
Guys, I hated this episode so much for so many reasons.
Wow.
I know we keep things positive.
We're a positive podcast. That said, you hated it.
No, that's it's a strong word, and it leads to anger, dark side, the whole
you
thing.
You think?
Yeah, let me step it back. It wasn't my favorite. Didn't like just for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
Didn't vibe.
Wasn't
didn't
for vibe. You.
Yep.
What are two of the reasons?
Well, we're on a mission again. You know, it's another, like you said, mission of the week. Fennec Shand is here, just like another cameo for whatever reason. Stupid Star Wars monsters chasing a bounty hunter that might as well be a Star Wars monster. It's just
I don't disagree, Matt.
Yeah. Just didn't move anything. Disagree. You know. Just didn't move things along enough.
As much as I love Fennec Shand, I love her. I love our girl. She's fantastic, et cetera. But it didn't go anywhere. We didn't need this. I love a filler episode, but this
love a filler episode, but not going to be rewatching this one.
Yeah, no, I think this would be fun in terms of a binge.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will, if you're watching, say, a bunch at a time.
Fair.
This is another. We've had those in Clone Wars as well.
Yeah, it's nothing new. It's okay.
We've had them on this show plenty of times where this is your 22 minutes of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's like with Next Generation, Matt, where it's like, okay, this week is up the long ladder. It's like, that's the episode.
Yeah. I love that.
But the thing is, no, you don't.
Liar.
Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I'm sure it's just not one for me. But you know who I think would love this episode is, surprisingly enough, kids.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to love this episode. Yeah,
let's not forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a family show, folks.
Yeah, exactly. This leads into episode 9, which was the info that Fennec promised. Real thing at the end of the episode, she's like, okay, where's our info? She's like, all right, I'll send it to you. Yeah. And then like,
I'm sorry, your princess is in another castle. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow. Because I watched this and the next one back to back. I was like, I'm really glad I'm going right into the next one.
Yeah.
Because
that would have been painful.
Painful. Yeah.
But if anything, I just love having Ming-Na Wen back and in this role. So
always great.
If anything else, I'm happy to have it. Purely because of her. But that leads us into the info that Fennec promised comes in episode 9 in the form of Asajj Ventress, who locates Pabu on her own and shows up there. It makes sense that Fennec would know her. Ventress went bounty hunter as part of her Clone Wars arc, as we'll remember. She lets Omega and the Batch in on some of the info they want. It's new to them, but it's not new to us at all. She's like, the M count is she pretty much lays it out. It's midichlorians. Not everyone has an M count.
Missing that and we hadn't caught up with that. It's midichlorians. Yeah.
It's how you measure force sensitivity. I'm like, oh, what will I do with this incredibly new and revelatory knowledge?
Never heard of that before.
And the badge is like, we've never heard about that. And it's like, we've been hearing about that since 1999, but that's okay.
Again, nobody's talking about this on the transport. Nobody's heard this before. Get out of here. Come on.
He's saying his name. Yeah, talking about it. So Ventress then gives Omega some tests and trials that nothing really we've seen before. They look like Ventress may have just come up with them on her own.
I think it's she was just like on the fly. She was like, just do this.
Stand on one leg with a fruit on your head and just stay there like a survivor challenge. It's like whoever stays there longest has immunity.
He's like, you got to go get me a sandwich and be back here in a half hour. And you'll pass your
that's pretty much. So she tells Omega she's not force sensitive, but she may have been lying. How is Ventress back? That was my big question going into this, because as we know, readers of Dark Disciple will know, and as we've talked about on the show before, Ventress is not around anymore. It's kind of explained in one line from a certain point of view. If you, depending on headcanons or whatever else, you can do with it what you want. It's said that the Empire could come after her, and Ventress says, I've got a few lives left. Mm-hmm. So I guess she's Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
She essentially is. I don't know.
She basically is the Star Wars version of Catwoman at this point, I think.
Yeah
that's cool. Yeah.
Her hair, the Ventress with hair, especially in the underwater when she's swimming, her hair looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We got another monster, Matt, but Ventress calming
it's really a joke.
The monster was amazing, mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah.
And I loved hearing Nika Futterman just engage and toy with clones again.
Mm-hmm.
In general, just Nika Futterman, her at back is playing Asajj was wonderful. I do think, well, what I'll say is this. I wish they hadn't put her in a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that this had been a surprise.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That would have been really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also like to be able to fly. Thoughts for Matt, for Caitlin, both of you on the return of Asajj Ventress in this episode?
I mean, I was excited to see her back. Like I said, like you said, I would have liked to not know that it was coming. that would have been a fun little treat. But I agree, the calming of the creature was very very rebels of them, very you know, in tune with nature of the force side of it all, which was very nice. And maybe we'll see her again soon. I don't know.
Yep. Ping this off with a question to you before and weave it into Matt Romano, if you can, to your reaction. But I think that's an excellent point. Why bring her back here unless they're going to do something else with her? Because you could very easily not have her here in this episode at all. Like, you don't need this return. You don't need to mess with established canon like that. Do you think it's just to do it to give you that Clone Wars feeling one last time? Or is it, you know, a roadmap to something else, contributing to the thing you love, Matt, of the board being lousy with Jedi in this time
period?
It's
too many Jedi! God! Come on! One of these guys gotta go, gotta be taken off the board somehow. I don't know. This was fun. This was a fun episode.
This was fun. Oh,
you didn't hate it?
No, I mean, I also didn't love it also.
I still can't believe you said that.
I can't believe I said that either. I don't think we've ever said that ever, so I apologize.
About this show, too.
Yeah, that's rough. That wasn't nice. Yeah. But anyway, this was a good episode. But yeah, they're going to bring her back at some point, but I just hope they don't bring her back like in Ahsoka season 2 and she doesn't age, because like nobody ages anymore. You know, they'll just be like she's. I do.
Everyone's like, on Ozempic and everyone has work done. No one ages, Matt. Come on. Yep.
Well, here's the perfect eyesight and a full head of hair.
I don't know why I got myself all worked up that like Quinlan Voss was going to be in the episode. That's what I thought the surprise was going to be. You know?
You weren't alone, Matt. Yeah. You weren't alone, because other people did too. And I tell you, I love that theory, especially when you brilliantly ping that together with the Obi-Wan mention.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really smart. And I think theoretically that is a story we could get somewhere else.
Yeah, it's got to, right? Like, we're going to see that eventually. Like, Quinlan's out there, she's out there, they have the book. And then also, this kind of tying it back to like Tales of the Empire and stuff. I know that they're, you know, doing these 3 and 3 episodes for these two characters. I really wish they would go to like a 6-episode different character each episode, because I could really just would like one half hour. You know, about Asajj and Quinlan. You know, I don't need a full, I don't know. There's just so much to tell.
I think we'll get that in the Picard movie.
Yeah, exactly.
No, maybe like an animated movie. I don't know. It's like there was a time when none of this was ever going to happen. So, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, but
who
I don't know. But I don't know. Where do we see her again? Where does she fall into the whole story? If she shows up in like Rey's new movie, she's going to join Rey's Avengers in the next Rey movie. I don't know. Well, something's going to happen.
The disdain dripping out of your from each tooth.
No, it's all good. I'm not losing it.
I'm in a mood today, so I think
I'm
funny.
I'm sorry.
I do too. I'm very entertained. It's just this is a special kind of night.
It is special night.
Well, let's move on before Matt chokes me through the screen. Episode 10, the Batchless episode. Identity Crisis focuses on Emery Carr and the specimens in the vault. This was powerful to ping off those two.
Yeah.
Which are very, very younger audience friendly. This one is not. This is, you know, high drama. Emery Carr is brought in deeper on Project Necromancer, and this involves 4 sensitive children, 3 in particular, and they call them specimens. As I already said, they're kept in this vault in Mount Tantus. This episode, I thought, was highly reminiscent of the Clone Wars episode Children of the Force, Season 2, Episode 3. That one was about stealing 4 sensitive children. Cad Bane was in on it then, and he still is. He's back at the stealing M count kid game once again, and he's back in the toothpick business, too. So, Matt Romano, do you think him and Crosshair get them from the same place?
Absolutely. How many toothpick distributors could there be in a galaxy far, far away?
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. I mean, how many?
How many? Come on.
So, Emery's conscience is, throughout this episode, is really starting to bother her. We see that she has kept, we'll remember, Omega's homemade Lula doll. We have the Krasdale Lula. And she gives it to one of the children at the end. So Emery is starting a certain humanity starting to come out there. The children are more agreeable to subjugation they say, which is why the Empire prefers them. This was another fine example of just the Empire sucking so badly.
Yeah.
And especially when you think of if Project Necromancer is what we think it is and is all, you know, let's keep the Emperor alive because we love him just that much. All of this is just for one man to continue to be horrible or whatever. It's
it's very on brand.
Yeah. It's pretty terrible. And I'll just add this: Scorch, the clone commando, who we've seen in a lot of episodes now, he is becoming a problem.
Yeah,
he's becoming a real
Scorch
problem.
Scorch is going to get
becoming
scorched.
A real problem.
Yeah, yeah, he ain't going to make it.
I hope so. It's
yeah,
like he's Scorch is a problem.
Scorch
like,
is a problem.
I've had it.
Yeah,
I've had it with Scorch. Yeah. I thought this one was powerful. Caitlin, Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this one was super powerful. In fact, like, yet, like you said, coming off the previous two episodes, like, just to show the show, when the show is good, it's really, really good. Like, when it's focusing on the story and move things along at a good pace, like, it's fantastic. When they're exploring, like, these darker and deeper themes, you know, I made jokes about the previous two episodes. It's just because it didn't have the meat on the bones that this episode really has. And, yeah, like you said, it's just crazy that, you know, this is all for the means of the Emperor. And all these people, you know, are affected by it and their lives are destroyed by it. And it's just to feed this one old man's desire to live forever. It's pretty wild.
Caitlin and Bush, follow up.
It's I agree. This was, I think, my favorite episode of the season thus far, which is unfortunate considering that The Batch wasn't in it at all. Yeah. But I mean, I love when Star Wars explores all of these darker themes, and I think it's very telling, and it connects a lot of different threads throughout the Star Wars galaxy as well as the series itself. And I was horrified, but I had a good time, and that's just how I like to consume my media at this point. Horrified, but happy about it.
And if I can add one thing, it's like with Emery in this episode, you know, she's definitely comes around by the end of the episode. You feel like. She's definitely turns a corner here. And who knows how long she's been manipulated by Hemlock, you know, how like if she was a child that grew up in the same situation.
When did the Stockholm syndrome set in potentially?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then leaving behind
that heritage and her past or whatever, that's going to be, I think she's going to be I'm trying to think of the right parallel, but you know, the kink in the armor of this whole show. Like,
yeah.
That they'll be at their most desperate spot and she will do something that turns the tide.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something in their favor.
Yeah.
Or everyone will just die. I don't know.
that too.
I think you both bring up an interesting point in that it's a little bit of tonal whiplash.
Yeah.
Coming off of the episodes we had, which are romps pretty much, even the Asajj episode.
Yes.
To this, which was very dramatic and intense. And I think which kind of episode is, I say it's Clone Wars was like that as well, but not to this degree, or maybe it was sometimes.
Well, you had like those really contained arcs in Clone Wars, which kind of made it a little more.
It's true.
You know, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You'd have like a silly nomad droids arc, and then you'd have a politics arc, and then you'd have Savage.
They usually weren't crammed in together, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas this, I think it's... Whereas this episode is probably more for all three of us than a romp. The romp is going to be for, I think, a younger audience or somebody else. It's like you're going to love that kind of Bad Batch episode more. I think it's...
I'm just like...
You can appreciate all of them.
Mm-hmm. The kid, maybe you can speak to this more, Matt, as the solo parent here but in this group. But I think if I were a child watching this show and what I was watching one week was this fun little monster adventure with Asajj Ventress, and all of a sudden, like, I tune it on the next week and pull up Disney Plus, and there's like... child torture like psychological experiments, like that's alarming for a child to witness.
100%.
Scorch shoots the kid in the face. It's with a stun. It's with stun, but he does.
I wasn't gonna say it, get into it, but like, yeah, even the opening scene with that cute little, you know, I don't know, bird kid.
The
I don't know what
child
would you call him? That child when he gets when he gets
there's the blue one, the green one, and the red.
No,
one.
But yeah, but the first one that Cad Bane goes to get.
Oh, the bird, know,
the bird, the
children.
Bird child, the bird child.
Yes.
Bird you know, that was hard seeing like the dad get like gunned down essentially. Then they take the kid. Yeah, that's a little dark. Yeah,
it's
you're right
dark.
On the money. Yeah. Yeah.
I think, Caitlin, I think that's an amazing point, because now that I think about it, if I was a kid, well, if I was physically more of a kid than I am, I would skip this one. This would scare me and I would skip
it. It would scare me when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would want the romps and I would not want this. I would skip it, because things like this in Star Wars used to, the Empire hand coming off used to, I used to close my eyes.
Mm. Same.
I mean, I was quite wee when I did this Temple of Doom, the hand and the heart. I would just turn away. Don't do the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. That was
That's
up.
Dark.
Yeah.
yeah. But so if it was something like this, I would not like this episode as a kid. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I guess that's the difference. It's only been 5 years. Well, I guess that's the
and going back to the Star Trek conversation, it's like, you know, they're just trying to like appease both audiences. You got your hardcore older fans and you got the kids, and like Bad Batch is a great example of trying to have your cake in the mailbox and eat it too, you know?
Yes, they're shoving a lot. And I think to our point earlier about, with, you know, Clone Wars, you had these, you know, 3 or 4 episode arcs. They were working with more episodes per season versus a season like this. You know, we're getting 13 episodes, I think, max, which is half of a Clone Wars season at best, kind of thing. So, I mean, they're trying to shove so many different vibes and I'm sure appease so many different masters and so many different audiences into a very minimal amount of time. And so we end up with this, like you said, Brian, this tonal whiplash where we're going back and forth like this.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes out, especially as we've already touched on, when you watch a few of them at once, when you haven't caught up in a couple of weeks and then you watch, it's really back. It's in a wonderful way. It's just, I'm like, it really is a completely different show depending on what episode you watch. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a feature, not a bug.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to episode 11, Point of No Return, the clone operative, we remember him, has interrogated the Trandoshan, who must be Sid. They mention this twice. They just don't say her name.
Yeah.
That leads him to Fee, who leads them to Pabu. The batch is clearing out for safety, with Omega putting Tech's glasses in the precious artifact section. But in comes the operative. Boom goes the Havoc Marauder.
Come on.
Boom almost goes gonky, but Wrecker saves him at his own expense. Matt, I thought of you here.
I think
some of our listeners did too.
They did. I mean, listen, it didn't hurt as much as the Razor Crest, I don't think. It still hurt.
I was going to say, you know what it reminds me of?
Yeah, the Razor Crest.
The Razor Crest.
Pressing on that bruise. Yeah.
I'm just going to throw out the Lego sets at this point. I'm just going to throw them away. Like, you know.
The episode, The Tragedy.
We got that one.
I do
The Tragedy.
It was a tragedy.
I remember that one.
They blow up the ship.
Yeah.
But anyway, the ship too.
Wrecker saves Gonky, which was amazing.
And almost, and thankfully he's still alive, but it blew himself up. He got better. The Empire closes in on Pabu. It was really awful seeing the Star Destroyer hovering over Pabu.
We all knew this was coming. Remember, I think we had to have said this is too nice.
It was too peaceful. I agree. This was coming.
I'm going to go back in the archives. Look at the
tape.
You
probably saw it.
Yeah.
But you are full of it, Matt Romano. No way. Because we've been saying, no, this is our nice untouchable haven where they're going to retire.
Yeah, we've said that too. But at some point we had to have said, like, this place is too nice. And if a listener can go back and find it, please.
Do our work for us.
No. Yeah. If it's not in your memory, it doesn't exist.
Okay. Well, anyway, Pabu.
So they're just going to full on torch the place. And for a second, I thought they were going to. But Omega gives herself up. She hatches this little plan with Crosshair. I'll put a tracker on me and then you could track me to Tantus. It's the only way. Yeah, they find the tracker immediately. Crosshair then tries to shoot a tracker onto the departing gunship and he misses.
I thought for sure he was going to get it. Yeah.
Oh, man. Because we've been tracking this for all of the episodes we're talking about. Yeah. His handshake. Mm-hmm. They're trying to, he's getting medical attention from AZ-3.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter's aware of it and asking Omega, you know, please talk to him, continue to be the Crosshair whisperer and help him deal with this. And it's like it's his, you know, obviously it's hitting specific marks with a blaster is his thing, and he misses. And there's, he's got his full gear on in this, so he can't see his face, but there was just this feeling of performance that came through the animated armor where, I don't know, it was just like, oh, like he was not
he's devastated.
Didn't make it, man.
I don't think he's ever very happy with himself. But
there's a lot of self-loathing just, going on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A single crosshair. You'll miss your shot in the crosshair.
Oh, so sad.
Well, let's just move right on because we pick up right to episode 12, Juggernaut.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
The Batch regroups. Crosshair suddenly has a plan to find Tantus. Hey, let's go find the imprisoned Admiral Rampart, who you mentioned before, and use him to get to it. They get Fee's help and her ship, and they go to a place called Erebus where they break Rampart out. Huge action scenes here with prisoner turbo tanks.
Now, this is fun.
Oh, yeah. We saw these tanks in Revenge of the Sith on Kashyyyk.
Yeah, exactly.
We saw them again in Rogue One. We see Jyn Erso is being transported on one of these. We saw them again in Mandalorian in the episode The Believer.
Yeah.
They get Rampart out, but he says Tantus was designed so coordinates wouldn't be possible. So
convenient.
But don't worry. I have another way.
Your princess is in another castle.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so what character is going to come in to fill in that detail next week? It's like, don't worry. We have to.
Who else have we not seen yet? Somebody who else is.
We have to go to this bowl of hoojibs and they'll get, and we do a job for them. They're going to tell us.
It's going to be Sid. Anyway, it's going to be Sid. And there's going to be like, oh, you came back to me. You know, I don't know.
Oh,
like,
my God. I can't do more Sid. I would be okay. I can't do more Sid.
I'd be okay if it wasn't.
No, no, me too. But I'm just saying, like, what characters have we not seen from previous seasons yet? You know, it's like, it's going to be, I don't know.
It's going to be like Obi-Wan Kenobi or something by some miracle. Yes. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, maybe that's Quinlan Boss.
Yeah, maybe.
So meanwhile, Omega's on Tantus this whole time, reunites with Emery and Hemlock. They confirm her M count replication that she's able, her blood is able to do it. But it turns out it's able to do it because they when they cross it with a sample from another, and the other sample comes from the Force Kids in the Force Vault. The Force Kid Vault. That's the next kid show.
Dark.
Yeah, Force Kid Vault.
Star Wars kid show. It's like locked in the vault. What are you going to do? It's me, Force Sensitive, here with you. So anyway, the other sample comes from one of these kids, and we met them two episodes earlier, and Hemlock says the rest of the puzzle. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I hate you. I hate that guy so much. But this episode was
Jeremy
so
Renner.
Who knows what happens next? But the action in this episode was, I thought the tank on tank action and everything else. There was one shot where the countermeasures blasting, they're shooting at one thing, there's explosions every which way, the tank's going over the cliff. I thought the action was amazing.
Yeah, and give me 100. Wrong? Give me 100 of these and over the Star Wars monsters. Give me like 100 like very fun battles.
This is okay.
This is okay. This is okay.
No, I actually thought that when watching it. It was like, oh, Matt's going to like this.
Yeah, I like the cars and the ships.
Matt, breaking news, Matt Romano is a man.
Yeah, I'm a man. I'm a man. I like the cars and the ships.
Oh, man. Okay, well, other thoughts on Juggernaut from either.
The monster has feelings? No way. I don't know. Throw that in there. More thoughts on this? Listen, great. Like we said, I think we can sum it up very easily. It's like when the show's, you know, concentrating on the story, it's amazing. When it's taking these little side paths, it's not so amazing. But I think what it's leading up to is, you know, this idea that they're going to head to Tantus and they're going to liberate all these kids and these clones, and they're going to deal a massive blow to the Emperor's, you know, program. They're going to set him back years into Rise of Skywalker.
About 30 years.
But even then, the Emperor is not going to get it right, and they're going to owe the clones, you know, even more. You know, the clones were like responsible for bringing the Emperor to power, and they're also kind of responsible for keeping him out of power because they're going to like deal a massive blow to him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So that's pretty, I don't know. I think it's going to end on a very impactful note.
Oh, wow. I really like how you put that.
Yeah.
It's good.
I do.
There's no but there.
I really did.
Well, no, just like they're just going to, you know, put him. They're going to kind of, the Emperor's definitely going to end with like a no, you know, they like They ruined my clothes, you know.
Been delayed 60 years. Yeah. Yeah. Kiss me the Pringles.
Yeah, they have to have, I mean, it has to have some weight. When they finally take back Tantus, it's going to have some repercussions, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because they obviously, they can't kill the Emperor and they can't kill Tarkin, but right. They can certainly kill frickin' Hemlock. Yeah. They could probably have Emery Carr sacrifice herself or something. Which any characters that survive, how are they going to be taken off the board theoretically? Because then it's why Omega is not in A New Hope explained for like a right. million years.
Right. But that is exactly what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, that's going to happen regardless. Yeah. It's already happened.
Will be in live action without a doubt.
Omega.
I think the legacy of this show and the thing that I've been reading about it and seeing about it is what is that people really relate to the Batch characters in terms of they may be different. They may be what some consider. We talked about this a little bit in the past. Some consider defective, but they are still of use. And it really these characters really inspire a lot of people who feel the same way in a different way than Star Wars usually does, in a different way that the other Clone Wars clones do. And when I think about that, it gives me a really warm feeling about this entire show.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. warm and fuzzy. And mm-hmm.
I think it's a positive thing for kids, especially. I know my partner's nephew, this is his favorite thing. Aww. He doesn't like not Clone Wars, not Star Wars, Bad Batch.
Love it.
That's like, lovely.
And he likes Star Wars as well or whatever. But whenever he's like, oh, he's watching Disney Plus, I'm like, what is he watching? He goes, Bad Batch. He loves Bad Batch. Mm. And Hunter's his favorite. So that's the show for me. It's like keeping that in mind. And so I love that. I love that he has this and this is his Star Wars right now. And I think that's great. Also great, just three moments I have to mention. Ventress's hand-to-hand combat moves I thought were so well done.
Sick.
Yeah.
The gunship going down on Pabu when Hunter's in it and it goes down for a second, it looked photo real.
Yeah, it was cool.
It looked like the light reflecting on it. It looked like
the animation is next.
And
level.
Again,
yeah.
Oh God. Every time we talk about that, but it has to be remarked again. And then I wrote Tank v Tank. I think we already covered that. Final thoughts on these episodes. There's only three left. There's only three episodes of this whole thing left. And I'd say, and then we're out of the Clone Wars era of animation for good, but not when the Tales of series are coming back.
Damn
but parting shots on these episodes, Caitlin and Bush.
I kept getting caught in this latest episode on how Crosshair just like thought that he could go to Rampart without Rampart being like, but you're just going to break me out of here, right? He was just like, I'll find you and then you'll give me information with no other expectations, right?
Have you never watched this show?
I'm like, Crosshair, I know you're going through some stuff right now, my dude, but you are not this stupid. But yeah.
Maybe I am that stupid.
Well, that's a possibility.
No, that's not a great Crosshair. That's a possibility.
But thank you for sharing that anecdote though, Brian, about your partner's nephew. That is truly like, that's the thing that I think I forget a lot of the time watching stuff like this. You know, when I'm in my adult brain watching something like this, I'm like, this is what this is actually about, is these kids getting to experience this and building a relationship with this franchise and taking something from it. Because ultimately the message of this show is incredibly positive and incredibly sweet, and that everyone has their place in the universe, and that everyone has not meaning through work, but just meaning through their relationships and the things that they find value in. So that's just very heartwarming.
And have we got a podcast for him? Does he listen to podcasts? You know, hey, we bleep the so it's good for kids. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. even okay. No, he does not find me amusing at all.
Okay. All right.
He loves Bad Batch. I can go hang as far as he's concerned.
Well, my final thoughts for the episode is just I'm excited for these final three. They're releasing weekly, so no more double drops. You know, we're just getting one episode at a time.
Double drop.
No spoiler alerts. I've read the titles of the coming episodes. It feels like three parts.
Yeah, same.
Feels like three parts that we're getting. It feels like this is the we are in the end game now.
The finale.
So I'm excited. I think we're probably no more filler episodes. We're going right to the jugular, right to the end, and I'm excited.
Let's go, baby.
the title of the finale, and we won't say it in case people haven't looked at it, but it was like, ooh.
Perfect. Yeah. The title of finale is great. Mwah. I love mwah. It.
Yeah. Now it's going to be good.
Yep.
Well, with that, we're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. Don't turn us off.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Return of the Pod, a podcast about
cerveza cristal. Cerveza cristal.
Many boats.
We're back, and that's going to bring us into the new segment that no one is talking about, the Great Movie Ride.
I like this segment.
Welcome back.
I like the movie.
Welcome back. Matt Romano, welcome to the Great Movie Ride.
Happy to be here.
Caitlin M. Bush, welcome for your first time at the Great Movie Ride.
Thank you, Mr. Sillam. I enjoyed listening to it last time. So
oh, yeah,
I'm Caitlin, excited to experience it in real time.
Yeah, now. Caitlin's first time on the ride.
Yeah, well, as is the long custom here, the long storied custom here on the Great Movie Ride, I'm going to talk about one 2024 release, one 2023 release that I finally saw. We're going to go to what movies the both of you have seen recently that you might want to talk about, and then an older movie that I'm way late to the game on. And then we're going to go from there. Oh, that's yeah? probably
what a format.
System's going to change every week. So it's not really accurate, but whatever. 2024 movies. I saw this just last night. Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh,
have either of you seen
that.
This?
I want to see it so bad.
So where did you appear from? Oklahoma. Yeah, I've never been anywhere but here.
I think Caitlin and Bush, I think you are going to love it.
I've heard nothing but amazing things.
Yeah, and justified. It's an exciting 2024 release starring Kristen Stewart, Ed Harris, and notably Katie O'Brien, who our listeners will know from playing Ilya Kane in The Mandalorian. It is lingering in theaters. It's pretty much done with a theatrical run, but it should be available to rent digitally soon. It is a bit extreme in some areas. It's definitely not for kids, but I loved it. Katie O'Brien was wonderful in it, and it is an exciting second film for director Rose Glass, who, I don't know if you guys saw the movie Saint Maud. Have you seen that?
Yes. No. Excellent.
That's her first movie, and that listeners, in case you haven't seen it, it stars Morfydd Clark, who you may have seen. She was Galadriel in Rings of Power. She did this movie before that. Caitlin, did you like Saint Maud?
I did. I really liked it.
I'm not, horrors, as you know, isn't always my genre.
Yes.
It's not that I dislike it. It's just not my favorite, but I love Saint Maud.
You get
Maud.
Scared. It's okay.
It's not your vibe. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I get scared. That's why. Shut up. No. We're all. Everything's chill here in the Great Movie.
Everything's fine here in the movie.
This is a happy
line.
Place. This is a happy place.
I was just talking about being scared before. No, my life is ruled through fear. Anyway, I highly recommend Love Lies Bleeding, especially if you love Katie O'Brien, especially if you love Kristen Stewart. It's phenomenal. I had such a great time. Mm-hmm. From 2023. The movie Sometimes I Think About Dying, starring Daisy Ridley.
How you doing, Fran?
Not bad.
I'd love to introduce you all to the newest member of our little family. This is Robert.
Hello.
Our wonderful, beloved Daisy Ridley, finally available for digital rental and purchase, directed by Rachel Lambert. It is a watch that requires some patience, but wow, was this just such a wonder. There's entertainment, and then there's an experience in terms of movies. And this was definitely the latter. Daisy was wonderful in this. And I don't imagine it's easy for her to play. She was sober. She's playing a very mousy Nebbish. And that's a tough sell, I think, especially when you're Daisy Ridley and you have the personality that she has. But I really bought it. I bought it the whole time, and I wasn't thinking about it. I was just watching this character. So really curious what people think of it. And you couldn't get very, very different from what she does in Star Wars and everything else. But it just shows again that Rey she's phenomenal as Rey. Love her as Rey. That's not all she has. She's got so much more going on. I thought this was phenomenal. I recommend it. Highly recommend it. Would be curious what everyone thinks about this as well. Matt Romano, what is a recent movie that you've seen that you want to talk about here now on the Great Movie Ride?
Oh man, can I throw in two real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, real quick. Guys, I said it in the text thread, and I think you both laughed at me, and I want to dig into it just a little bit.
I knew we were going here. All right.
I just want to see on, where the animosity is. I saw Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
On Amazon Prime. Yeah, not the Patrick Swayze. The remake. Roadhouse 2024.
With Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Colin McGregor, okay?
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
Yeah, about, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
I was not going to watch this movie. Of all people, my father was like, Matt, you got to watch this movie. And I was like, okay, Dad, I'll watch this movie.
Interesting.
Man, it's a, what a manly movie. You know, it's
is it like going after the Yellowstone crowd?
I don't know. I have no idea. Well, here's, for those who don't know, I mean, the original Roadhouse, whatever, don't worry about it. This movie is a...
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. You don't need to see it. Ex-UFC fighter Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse, only to discover that this paradise is not all it seems. Okay?
Cool.
Long story short, he, like, you know, he's got some, he's wrestling with some demons, but he kicks the shit out of people, and, like, people kick the shit out of him. And it's, like, it's very Top Gun-esque in the fact that it's, like, this is a throwback 80s movie. Just check your brain at the door. A lot of, like, good quips, good-looking people beating the shit out of each other. Colin McGregor, who's a nut job. I'm not endorsing him by any means.
The way that he, I've just seen, like, the videos of him walking the entire, he looks like a psychopath.
Psychopath, but, like, what a great movie villain. Like, just what a great, like, I don't know, man. It's a throwback. I totally recommend it. There are some violent parts, but, man. What a good time. What a rocking good time at the Roadhouse.
Okay. I'm willing to bet that Caitlin and Bush never watches this movie, and I'm also willing to bet that I know exactly the reason why.
Is it Jake Gyllenhaal? Do you not like Jake Gyllenhaal?
You know? I don't care about Jake Gyllenhaal.
We don't have to unpack it, but I don't even know. I know people don't like him. The red sweater, the red cardigan.
That's exactly what.
You know?
It's a scarf, I believe.
The scarf.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a scarf.
It's a scarf.
Do I have that right?
It's a scarf.
I say, thank God. I
you got it. You got
I
it.
Do not
great.
Want to screw up on
You're
that.
Doing great.
Yeah, it is absolutely that. Yeah.
But he's funny in it. He's funny. He's got some good lines. He's,
that makes it okay. Oh, if he's funny in it.
Look, I know when you were texting us about this originally, you threw in that, like, it's like my new Top Gun.
It's
Maverick.
Like my new
and
Top
I was like,
Gun.
I was like, he's trying to drag me in. I can feel it. This is him trying to drag me in with the
I
Top
am.
Gun Maverick.
He absolutely was.
I've got to check the text there, but I think Caitlin's reaction was, oh no, .. That's All right. Anyway, Roadhouse.
And I just watched and I was like, oh, let's just pull up a chair and enjoy these fireworks.
And Brian, you're not going to watch Roadhouse now? You're not going to watch it?
No, probably not. Probably not.
I'll have to
watch the original first.
Okay. I love the original. The original is masterpiece. But maybe I'll finish my Criminal Minds rewatch here and we'll see how you girl is feeling after.
Okay, thank you. Just watch it late night. Have a drink.
You, Matt Romano, I might watch it.
I am going to hold you to this.
I know you.
I'll watch anything once.
Good. All right. Well, how about Caitlin goes and gives one, and then I'll give another one.
Okay.
Great. I recently saw Monkey Man.
Oh!
Dev Patel. Starring Dev Patel. Starring and directed by the great Dev Patel.
In this city, the rich don't see us as people. Give me the job no one wants to do. I'll do it.
Guys, it is fantastic. Ooh. Oh my God, it is so good. It is Dev Patel finally getting the starring action role. I mean, I don't think this man can do anything wrong. I truly don't think so. It's him saying, I will be my own Keanu Reeves in the best way possible. And it's glorious. The fight choreography, fantastic. The storyline, I was enraptured. Everyone go see it. I can't say enough good things about it, and I can't say too much about it because I don't want to ruin it, but amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is definitely on my list. I saw a reaction where he just premiered the movie and he came out and he got a standing ovation. He was in tears. just what a moment for his career. And it's like,
he seems like such a delightful human being. I don't think there's a single thing that he's been in that I have not just like thoroughly enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. The Green Knight, incredible
Green
movie.
Green Knight, fantastic. Oh,
yeah.
Green Knight was my favorite movie of that year. Yeah. And
it's so good.
I was just, every shot of him, just his profile silhouette alone and the way he carried himself was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. He's like regal. Regal.
Yeah, he was every inch what that. I cannot wait for Monkey Man. I cannot wait.
You guys are both gonna love it. I think our listeners will absolutely love it. I can't wait to the more people that I know that see it, I can't wait to hear everything they think about it, because it's just glorious. So. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That's my take. Yeah.
Love it.
Looking forward to that. Matt Romano, what's your second pick?
Let me drag us back down into the gutter. I just saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Saw it opening weekend.
You're making me so mad.
Starring young child Caitlin M. Bush.
Heads up. Tall, dark, and horny at 12 o'clock.
Yes. Young child Caitlin M. Bush. Playing
Caitlin,
like,
do you get that one on the street? How have you gotten that one yet?
I honestly have never gotten that. No, okay. But as soon as you said it in the text thread, I knew who you were talking about. So,
we're referring to the actress that plays Phoebe Spangler, because she's got a little the round glasses. Maybe I don't know the glasses. I don't know. Maybe it's got a
round glasses, curly hair.
Curly hair. Yeah. But I have to say, you know, like it wasn't bad. I'm also a Ghostbusters guy, you know.
You're an apologist.
I'm an apologist for the Ghostbusters.
Oh. And look, there's nothing to be said about the OG's amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
the recent stuff. When I'm talking about apologists, I specifically mean the two most recent movies here.
Oh, yes. Well, I think that we could do a whole episode about the Ghostbusters and just how funny it is that, like, there's not a lot to mine from the Ghostbusters, okay?
Nope.
So every movie that's come after Ghostbusters 1, they recycle stuff, and if it's fun, they obviously play into nostalgia way too much. I mean, every Ghostbusters movie since the original is just retrying, doing the same bits.
It seems like the first one, they were exterminators, and it was, you know, it was funny.
Yeah.
And that now it seems like the trailers for both the previous one and this one make it seem like Force Awakens.
And
I'm like, what? It's they're making it myth,
right?
And I'm like, is it myth? I thought they were because I've seen the first two, and I like the remake with Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, Bill Murray's like, it's true, all of it.
If you're an apologist for the new ones, I'm an apologist for the Lady Ghostbusters. I think that movie is amazing.
Nothing to apologize for. I watched that and I laughed the whole time. I don't know. Well, I absolutely know why.
The movie's like 30, 45 minutes too long, but it's a good movie.
So freaking good.
I got one wonton. I got a tub of soup. And I got one split wonton. Look at that, just floating there.
But anyways, but even that movie, they're just mining stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the same stuff. There's nowhere for the franchise really to go.
Matt, let me ask you this, though, Matt, about this Frozen Empire.
Yes.
You know?
Hit me.
It seems in places to be like it could be inspired almost more so by like the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
It absolutely is. And that's actually where like the charm of the movie is in. Because like I think with all the stuff that I'm saying, like that there's not a lot of places to go. Just lean into the craziness. Just like it's absolutely wacky. It's like monster of the week sort of thing. I don't know. So I felt like it was definitely felt a lot more like the real Ghostbusters cartoon. The villain's crazy. The story itself, they have Kumail Nanjiani. He's playing this like character who's like a descendant of a family that used to wield fire, because I guess back in ancient times, instead of having proton packs, they used like fire to capture this ghost. And honestly, he's like the best part of the movie. He is like having a ball. Funny.
Kumail is kind of the best part of most things that he's in.
It's so true.
He's always, it's not his first legacy quill either. He's always good in them.
No, yeah, absolutely. No, but he's having a good time. He's very funny. I think every line he says is funny, but like the mixing in of the OGs, you get to see the car again. Like, you know, like everything's there for me.
Me and some of my friends, when we went and we saw a screening of the cinematic masterpiece, and I say that so sarcastically, Madame Web.
Oh, God. Yep.
Matt,
cue up that sound. Play it.
He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Okay, thanks.
Just so we, just in case anybody forgot. Yeah.
There we go. We for shits and giggles, we went and saw it. But I think before we were having a discussion, we were like, okay, of all of the reboots that exist in, you know, the year of our Lord 2024 that have come out, what franchise is the most egregious when it comes to just like mining nothing but nostalgia? What just like
Ghostbusters?
Freaking, it's Ghostbusters.
It's like, Ghostbusters.
Like it is pure vibes. There is no substance to the idea of a reboot. There is nothing that actually lends itself to that idea. I think someone tried to argue the new Jumanji remakes, which are masterpieces. By
the way, they're pretty great. The new Jumanji movies, I wouldn't. Amazing. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that. Yeah.
Yes,
I think they're fun. Yeah.
But my argument amongst a couple of my other friends was that Ghostbusters takes the cake for just pure vibes.
Yeah,
and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but
no, it's okay if you're into it. Like, I see, I like the vibes. I took my kid, my 4-year old. He loves Ghostbusters. Took my 4-year old to this movie. Sat through the whole movie. He loved it. So it's like
that's great.
It does what it has to do. It also has a weird little subplot with some ghost love action with Phoebe Cates. I mean, with Phoebe Spangler. I don't know what's going on there.
Wow, that's quite a distance there.
Wrong.
I was asking you about that over text and you said, yeah. And I'm like, I was kidding. I'm like, I thought that was a joke.
I don't know. They're friends.
I thought somebody
close.
Was saying that. I was like, surely this is a joke. I'm like, no, that's in the movie.
Yeah, it was in the movie, but it was nice. It all ties back nicely to the end. So I had no problems, no qualms.
There's several Hallmark movies about falling in love with a ghost, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ray.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was
Ray in the first movie,
quite a different scene.
But yeah, just talk about how far this franchise has come. Anyway.
Oh, it's got Carrie Coon, and she's great. I love Carrie Coon. Well, the last movie I'll talk about is one that I was so late for. It's from 1989.
Oh, good year.
And it's taken me this long to see it, but I absolutely loved it. From James Cameron, starring Ed Harris and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, The Abyss.
From James Cameron, the writer and director of The Terminator and Aliens, comes The Abyss.
One of my best friends just bought the new 4K Blu-ray. He bought Aliens as well. And he was visiting. He was on leave from, he's on tour with Beetlejuice. And he was back in the city for a week. So we brought them over and I'd never seen The Abyss. So we popped in The Abyss. And what a great way to watch that for the first time. Of course, the sci-fi aspect of it was great. The visuals and everything was great, but it had such solid acting and writing and story. And this was the special edition that we'd seen, which I wouldn't have wanted to lose anything from this. My friend was telling me about some of the things that were not in the original cut. I was like, well, those are like amazing sequences. It's streaming on Hulu right now, though, if you've never seen it. But if you have, Matt, Caitlin, have either of you seen this, The Abyss?
I have, yeah. It's been a hot minute since I've seen it, but it's good. I enjoy it.
Let me tell you something. I haven't seen this movie since I was legit a kid, because talk about movies that freaked you out as a kid. This movie freaked me out
as a kid. Yeah.
And I haven't seen it since I probably saw it on HBO when I was, you know, 8.
Too young.
Too young.
It's, you could really see a little bit of a lot of James Cameron's big quirks in here in terms of underwater. And then
didn't Ed Harris almost die? Ed Harris like hated making this movie.
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio needed onset therapy.
Yeah.
It put them through hell for it. But I think it's, in some ways I watch it, I'm like, I think that's my favorite James Cameron movie.
Interesting.
Because I think it just really works on just a really solid level. And I like his movie. People bag on James Cameron all the time, but every 10, 15 years, he creates this big, giant $10 billion thing and everyone goes to see it. Then everyone bitches about it for no end. And then everyone goes in another 10, 15 years. It just, you know, but
it's
this is
like, he knows his audience. I will say.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something he's doing that really works. So it's like, there's a lesson to be learned here. So anyway, but this was, strike me as the time before all that. And I think if you haven't watched it in a long time. It's definitely worth rewatching it. I'm going to revisit it quite a lot.
Okay. Okay.
I will.
So, right. I think we'll all look forward to that, to me rewatching it.
And Matt can heal his childhood trauma.
I haven't gotten in the water since 1991, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, who's scared now? As always, well, Matt Romano, I want to know more about what it is you're doing.
Hey, Walter Peck, he's also in the movie. He's also in Ghostbusters.
I know. Yeah. Is he the mayor or something?
He's the mayor. Makes total sense.
Yep. Well, as always, listeners, feel free to follow along with what I'm watching on my beloved Letterboxd, which is at my name, Brian Silliman, B-R-I-A-N, S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Feel free to reach out and tell me your thoughts on any of these fine releases. DM me on Instagram, also at my name, and let me know. As always, thanks for coming to the movies.
The movies.
I think what makes cinema to me,
And that'll take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
All right. Real talk. We got a bunch of real talk this week, guys. I think it's a little catch up real talk, if you guys will bear with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go for it.
Because we've got a bunch. We're going to go through it as quickly as we can. First off, real talk. This is not necessarily any listener feedback, but I just have to acknowledge. Have you seen the Lopty Neck Poor Things mashup? That went out on the return of the pod.
Well, yes, you texted it to us before you posted it. Yes, I have seen it.
Okay, good. Indeed. Blew up the internet, you know. not exactly our most viral of tweets or posts, but, you know, I thought there was something there. I enjoyed it. Makes me happy. So if you haven't seen it.
I thought you did a great job with it, man.
Thank you very much. I really took 2 seconds. They match up perfectly. It's the universe, really, that made that, not me.
All right, I take it back then.
If you haven't seen it, check us out on Instagram at Return of the Pod or on Twitter at Return of the Pod. It's there. Check it out. All right, now into the real talk. We got some voicemails here, all right?
Oh.
So we'll mix it up a little bit. First voicemail is from our man, East Bay Ray. What do you got to say, East Bay Ray?
Greetings, Starbingers. This is your old friend, East Bay Ray in Kissimmee. Wanted to comment about how much I'm enjoying the music for Bad Batch Season 3 that's been composed by Kevin Kleiner. I think it's atmospheric. I think it does a great job of amplifying the or supporting the journey that the characters are on. I also think it's cool how it seems to be nodding a little bit towards the music that was composed for Andor. So at any rate, great show, great podcast, of course. Love you guys. Wish you all a very, very happy spring. Many boats.
All right. Yeah. And we didn't even talk about any of the music, funny enough. We talked about the
unusual,
animation.
Which is unusual for us, but it is fantastic.
Yeah, I think we mention it every episode, or try to. Maybe not.
It's always incredible. Well, it's also worth mentioning that the soundtrack for the first half of the season is out. So there soundtrack is out.
Yep.
But it's incredible every week. There's one musical moment, actually, now that I think about it. I forgot to mention it before. In the Ventress episode, where they first start squaring off against her, and you hear the Bad Batch theme for just a moment. They use it so sparingly in this show, in their own show. They almost never hear the theme that we heard in the Clone Wars. It's very rare. But they cut in with it, and it was just like probably showing us their familiar Clone Wars days were back for a second, and missing Echo and Tech. But it was such a wonderful goosebump musical moment. But it's phenomenal. I love it. I love the music on Bad Batch.
Amazing. Yeah. No, and I can't wait for what they have planned for the finale, because you mentioned the Bad Batch theme and it's coming back. That, you know, it's coming back.
Coming to play.
It's going to be a moment.
They're
going to
cut in with the biggest orchestral moment of Omega's theme yet, and it's Omega. Going to Omega Tick.
Yep.
Rika.
Yep.
It's gonna bring me to tears.
Yes, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. All right, we're gonna jump around. We have another voicemail we'll get to in a second. But first, we had a message a few weeks ago from Padawan, friend of the show, longtime listener, Chris Six, dropped us a message on the Twitter. And I just gotta say, it's just a crazy, crazy theory. Hot take alarm, he says. Obviously, you all covered Project Neuromancer. We know what it is. My take is Palpatine went to the world between worlds during the Clone Wars era, found out he was going to die in Return of the Jedi, and decided to clone himself creating the project.
Sure, man.
Hot take alarm?
Yeah. Why not?
Oh my God, I hate myself because I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either.
Brian's gonna like that. Yeah.
See?
That's a Matt Romano take if I've ever heard
that
of
it.
I mean, Chris Six knows his audience.
Chances are if it involves the world between worlds, Matt's gonna like it.
But
it
would make sense, right? If the Emperor we know had access to it or was messing around with it in Rebels, wouldn't he
Yeah. Yeah. He knows about it. We saw from the end of Rebels that he, you know, is trying to dupe Ezra in that moment.
So what if, like, he's playing a really weird timey-wimey long game? You know? I don't hate this at all.
It makes sense.
Still adjusting to time travel and displacement being in Star Wars, but at this point, sure.
Let's go.
There we go. Chris Six, yeah. You know, we can do a whole episode on it, but thank you. I appreciated that
hot
take.
Thank you. You broke
our
brains.
Yeah, thank you. You broke
our
brains.
Have a nice night.
All right, moving on. Let's check out some messages we got on returnofthepod.net. If you haven't been there, it's on the World Wide Web. It's the home of Return of the Pod on the World Wide Web. We have a message from Phil Lemons. Okay, Phil Lemons said, the toothpick episode was quite enjoyable, except now everyone is confused when I break out seeing Cerveza Cristal in the middle of conversations. Thanks for that. So, Caitlin, you missed the crystal, sir. The crystal Cervas.
Oh, wait. But I
Cerveza
I listened.
Cristal episode.
I am also a frequent listener of the pod, especially when I'm not listening to my own voice. So there we go.
You heard that one. Okay, good. Yeah, that was amazing. Very funny.
When did you turn into Nick Miller from New Girl? Is it just me or is he got
is that what I'm doing now?
Like
the cadence,
you got such
cadence.
A Jake Johnson thing.
Yeah,
you know, cadence. It's like if you're on Broadway Street, get off that street, go and watch New Girl tonight.
Well, now I gotta keep it going. Next
There's
week,
a compliment.
That is a compliment. I love that guy, Spider-Man. My favorite Spider-Man.
That's true. No, I mean, yeah, you definitely have. Well, Jake Johnson has a Matt Romano thing.
That's what I originated
there.
Thank you. Robert says, can we please talk about live action Avatar The Last Airbender? I'm so proud of the way Netflix did this, and I've waited so long for this. If you watched it as a kid, definitely worth a watch. I didn't, but I do know we've got some Airbender fans here in the room.
Robert. My guy, my dude. Yes, I feel like I'm in the minority. I loved it.
You loved it?
So fun. I loved it.
I can't. I don't think it got enough recognition or hype as it should have.
It did not.
Well, it's got a second season.
Okay, good.
Yeah, got a second season. Me and a couple of my friends who were also classic Airbender fans back in the day. Loved it. That was not the majority opinion on the internet, from what TikTok was telling me. However, I had a fantastic time with it. And the casting was wonderful. The way that they changed up the storyline to fit so much into so little time was genius. Loved it. Fantastic.
Amazing. Our next message is from Ruby Hernandez, who says, Battle Beyond the Stars is one of my favorite movies from the early days of cable TV. It's a lot of fun on a small budget. It's produced by Roger Corman. So what's not to like? So happy to hear Brian mention it on the pod. And for those who have not listened, in last episode's movie ride, Brian talked about this movie that he saw on Tubi, which I don't necessarily think is a real streaming service, but apparently it is.
It's very real.
Shut up. Be nice to Tubi.
No,
there's some wonderful movies on Tubi.
We're going to get to that, too.
I may be in some of them. Watch it.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God. This is great. Somebody, the great movie ride, it's catching on.
See, someone took your recommendation or didn't necessarily watch it again, but acknowledged that they've seen it.
You know what I was talking about.
Yeah, that was good.
Caitlin, Matt didn't believe I was talking about a real movie.
Really?
He thought I was making it up.
I thought everything about it. I thought I was getting punked.
It's a very real movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a dated reference. Okay.
I think I would like to do a whole episode on Battle Beyond the Stars, though, because it'd be fun to just you go all ham on something else. But we'll talk about that for another day.
Absolutely. I think we should all watch it on Tubi, which is a very real service.
Yes.
And enjoy.
Okay. Yeah. I love Tubi. Just kidding. So thank you, Rudy Hernandez. Appreciate that. Next up, let's just jump over to Apple Podcasts. You know, we love the reviews that we got on Apple Podcasts. Like we say every episode, the positive feedback is really what, you know, churns the butter here.
Keeps at, us going.
Return of the Pod. Yeah, we love the positive feedback. We got 2 5-star reviews that we have to call out. First is from R. Yeti, who said, the show is amazing. Got me through the dark times of COVID and life since then. Honestly, R. Yeti, aww, me too. Crazy 4 years ago, like that we were doing the show, the old show, and we were pumping out episodes weekly during the pandemic, which is just, man, we
good
did like,
Lord,
did like 60 episodes.
Who were those people? Who were those people?
I don't know. They're do they exist?
They're gone. They're gone.
Well, yeah. I was somebody with a job is what I was.
Technically, we all were together. Not so much now. But yes, we really appreciate that. We love that. Hear that. They say we have good chemistry, which, yeah, I would say we do. We got a positive spin. So. Yeah, but really appreciate that review.
not in this
not
episode.
This episode. Please don't change your review. I still love Bad Batch. It's all good.
Just no one in this car.
All right. And then another 5-star review from Beta. Really dig this pod. Positive without being gushy. Smart and funny. It'll be staying in my subscription list for a long time. Love to hear it. Thank you, aww, both for the 5-star reviews. Remember, when you leave a 5-star review, you get a special little audio treat. And here it is.
Very well. If you wish.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Yes, I rather fancy it myself.
There you go.
Classic.
And it's a treat for us too.
It really, you know, every time.
It's, you know, if you know, you know. It's C-3PO taking off his robe.
Just like that orange drink.
Yeah. Just, yeah. There you go. We're just moving
just
on.
Just like the orange drink.
Yeah. And just, you know, and a bag of chips.
A small bag of chips.
Small bag of chips.
Right. Yeah.
One more voicemail.
Great.
One more voicemail. This is Terry from Cleveland. Terry from Cleveland, hit it up.
Hello, Return of the Pod crew. This is Terry from Cleveland, Ohio. I've been a fan since the old show, and I once called in to compare Brian's Saw Gerrera impression to the Sandman character from the Real Ghostbusters cartoon. And funny enough, I'm actually calling about something tangentially related to Saw Gerrera today. I was listening to the episode Toothpick while I was cleaning my garage, and Brian and Matt went on a riffing tangent about the different rebel faction names that Saw Gerrera lists off during Andor, and they mentioned the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. The bad news is that I immediately stopped listening to the podcast to listen to the 1997 ska punk classic Let's Face It by the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, because I can't help myself when I'm reminded that it exists, I have to listen to it. The good news is that now that the album is over, I'm coming back to listen to the rest of the episode. So I guess what I'm saying is that if you ever mention the Boss Tones, you're going to lose me for about 40 minutes while I go relive that album. But the good news is that I'll come back because I love what you guys do. Many boats. I hope you're all doing well. And I'm glad you guys are still making podcasts. Have a great day.
So the Mighty Mighty.
Well,
Mighty,
this is a problem because.
Go ahead, Brian.
Because now it's coming up and I was going to go off for another 40 minutes.
See,
oh, please don't leave. Oh, they're a magnificent band. Please stay.
No one was less shocked when listening to that episode and then learning that that was a riff that you guys went on for like 10 minutes.
It went on for a while and we cut a lot of it. So
the little urban achievers.
You know, the thing is, I mean, first of all, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I mean, that was a time. I don't know if you guys even remember. Kayla, you might have been too young, but the 90s, like Swing and Zoot Suits came back for a while. There was the Brian Setzer Orchestra. Jump, Jive, and Whale. I love this stuff. Gap Khakis, if you know.
Mambo number five. I do not know.
This was a time. But it got me thinking, because obviously this was a guilty pleasure for Terry, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. What is your, like, youthful...
It didn't sound guilty.
Oh, he's not guilty. He's loud and proud.
No, it's just a full-on
pleasure.
There's
no such thing as a guilty pleasure.
No. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let's talk about, like, young pleasures. Give me an album from your youth. That we can mention right now that might trigger another listener to stop listening, go listen to it, and come back. Caitlin Van Bush, I'll start with you.
I mean, look, I've been listening to, and this is not an unpopular opinion, I've just been listening to a lot of Britney lately. So Oops, I Did It Again, Just go hang out with that for a little while. I've been in my that's been like a regular on my workout schedule here recently. So,
okay. I like that. I like that a lot. Brian. He's going to be like, I love this orchestra from Russia.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the problem. In the time I remember Mighty Mighty Boston's being a thing, cause I knew a couple people who had the shirts and were listed, but I couldn't tell you what they sounded like. I knew of bands and singers and all that, but that's, you know, middle school, high school is not what I listened to. And that's, you know, the group of friends was quite wee at that point.
Come on.
So when you think it's like, what albums would I throw on? Well, it's stuff like, I'll just say, you know, soundtrack to Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, soundtrack to Hook, soundtrack to Les Miserables, you know, stuff like that. That's, I bought a Green Day album because I knew that's what the cool kids were listening
Dookie.
To.
Dookie. It was Dookie.
Green Day, Dookie is the shit.
Dookie is a phenomenal album.
I bought it. I had that and I had the Wayne's World soundtrack.
Mm. That's a great soundtrack. And a little bit of,
because I love Bohemian Rhapsody because of Wayne's World, right? And so I knew those, and I would listen to Green Day, to the Dookie album, be like, you have to love this. You have to fit in. If you listen to this and you like it, you will fit in. And I was sitting there as I was wearing a Dallas Cowboys ball hat cap and a Cowboys trash can, trying to force these things to
the
me to
Cowboys
like these
trash can because and the 90s.
It didn't. Yeah. It, no lie. This is like, and I won't. This was early high school, and. Eventually I just gave up. I'm like, but I'll listen to it now. I'll be like, oh yeah, I do
just,
enjoy
just
that.
Be you.
My musical tastes have since expanded a lot. And I still really enjoy those now.
Yeah.
There you go.
But at the time, very different.
You like what you
If you like the original Broadway cast album of Steel Pier.
Okay. All right. Well,
Matt, what's your throwback album? I will also add Fall Out Boy Under the Cork Tree to my list.
Okay.
That rocks my world.
Wow.
So,
you know, I asked this question. I don't really have a good answer for myself. But I was
Death Cab.
But no,
Death
no. Cab, you know, Matt. I was a product of the 90s, and I have to say, like, I loved like Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray.
Hell yeah.
Geez, you know, the first album I bought, the first CD I ever bought myself, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, was Spice Girls. The first Spice Girls album first CD I ever bought.
I have
bought.
So much more respect for you now.
I thought you would. Yeah, you know, and it wasn't the first piece of music I bought, because I bought like MC Hammer tapes, and I bought, somebody gave me Dookie. My brother gave me Dookie, so I didn't have to buy that one, you know, but it's like I was... Yeah, the Spice Girls album. I was like sneaking up in the room, not letting anybody know that I was listening to it, because
it's a great album.
It's a great album. It's great. Yeah.
Great record.
And I also listened to a lot of Boys to Men 2 when a girlfriend broke up with me in the 8th grade. There was a lot of that going on. I got broken up with her.
That's really dramatic right
then
there.
Yeah, and then I listened to that album for a few weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A little peek behind the curtain.
Did you ever listen to the songs from that show California Dreams? Do you remember that show?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that was like the Saved by the Bell, but it's in California. Yep.
Yeah,
and they play in a band.
Did you have that album?
No, I didn't have. Like, I didn't have
Surf Dudes with attitude.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Have that album?
Oh my god,
I didn't have that album, but you're my best bet here.
Oh,
on this panel.
Give me the NBC teenage sitcom soundtrack that has like Saved by the Bells.
Oh my God.
Hang Time.
Yeah, Hang Time. Give me all
of it. Me and my friends at Hang Time.
That's TV. Well, anyway.
How did it get there? That was completely unrelated to what we were talking about.
This is great. So anyway, to round up Real Talk this week, got to give us some shout outs to all the folks that bought me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com, the place to support the show with money. We'll give a shout out to Mike C at Mr. Bice and Migs. Thanks so much. For the coffees, they're delicious. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, everybody. That was a wonderful round of Real Talk.
That was a wonderful round of Real Talk. Thanks for coming by.
And with that, we're going to buckle off, but we'll be back probably at the very least for the series finale of The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
Woo! There are only three episodes left.
Three
episodes. We'll see if we can make it without biting. Yeah. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media, as Matt suggested. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and what was the... at Return of the Pod. You could also visit our website at returnofthepod.net, where you can leave voicemails and messages. You can visit returnofthepod.store, where you can buy all kinds of merchandising.
Merchandising!
Now, Matt, tell me.
Yeah.
Give us a store update. What's really, you know, what's keeping up the show? What merchandise just what cannot be contained?
I knew you were going to ask this question. And you know what? I'm going to finally do it. I'm going to announce right now. We are dropping not one, but two new mugs in the store.
Wait, and they aren't, they aren't lackluster.
Well, one of them is. I'm so happy that you asked, Caitlin. We have two mugs. Coming to
doing
the store.
The best I
this
can.
Is news to Mr. Silliman and I.
Brian and Caitlin didn't even know this. Brian has a lot of mugs to make, actually. It's actually really bad for Brian. But two mugs. The first mug is our current season artwork, you know? So for those that are collecting the whole set, I'm looking at you, Matt Schmidt, okay? Because I think he's the only one that has shown us physical evidence of buying every single mug.
Yeah. I don't have any of the mugs, so I'm going to keep that record.
Oh, no. You got to get a mug. You got to get a mug. So we got the new.
Get a mug.
So we got the new artwork from this current season. It's a beautiful mug. Check it out. But then also, we have the brand new Return of the Pod official lackluster mug. Now, this mug is a white mug with black impact font that says the official Return of the Pod lackluster mug. And it could all be yours for the price of TBD. But check it out on the site. It's yours. Buy it tomorrow.
Matt, this is my favorite.
Is this a
thing
joke? Are you serious?
This is my favorite.
No, I'm serious.
Thing
I'm just going to put up
world
a white mug with the text.
No, you have. This is my favorite thing in the entire world. Yeah.
I will buy that. Now I will buy immediately.
It's a real thing.
That is going to be.
It's a real mug. It's a real mug.
All this excitement. I'm going to have no room left in my kiln. Yeah.
You're going to have to buy it. And by the time you listen to this, it will be on sale at the store. So head to returnofthepod.net, click on the link to store, and buy yourself a brand new beautiful mug and have a great cup of coffee and start your day. Listen to Return of the Pod, drink in Return of the Pod. It's great.
Wow. Well, that's another boffo store update. Well, yeah, I couldn't say it better than that. You can also find us directly, though. Caitlin and Bush. Not that they'll find you there, but maybe if the moon is in the right place, their hearts are true, and I don't know, you can be found where?
During the next total eclipse at Caitlin M. Bush. That is C-A-I-T-L-I-N-M. Bush like the beer, not like the president's, ladies and gentlemen.
Matt Romano, where can you be found?
Caitlin only tweets every 40 years for 1 minute and 36 seconds.
Her Twitter account's in Brigadoon, so only when it... Brigadoon on the planet Meridian, so only when those things
are both planet Meridian.
On leap year.
Yes. All right, you can also find me, I'm around Twitter, X, who cares, at Matt Romano, M-A-T-T-R-O-M-A-N-O.
And I can be found on Instagram and Letterboxd, as I've already said, both at my name, Brian Silliman. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them. Take a chivy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. Many boats, and be the spark. Cerveza cristal.